Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 12. Now, in every believer's life, there is a day when the gospel comes to us in power. There is a day when we are transformed from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There is a time when we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, some people can pinpoint that exact date, but others can't pinpoint the exact date, but they can say, well, there was a time when I didn't believe, and now I believe. Something's changed. Now what the preacher's saying, I'm rejoicing in. And I believe it to be truth, when days before I did not believe it, and did not believe it to be truth. And every believer is born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Every believer. If a person's not born again by the Holy Spirit of God, they're not saved. Plain and simple. Because all who believe on Christ, all who believe on Him, truly believe on Him, are born again of the Holy Spirit of God. He said Himself, ye must be born again. You must be. You must be. Look at here in Isaiah chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 6. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. Oh my, look at that, beloved. And thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. We looked at that this morning, didn't we? Who's our Savior? Emmanuel, God with us, the sinless one. The sinless one. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Is He your salvation? Oh, I pray God would make it so if He's not. And in that day, oh, in that day, shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great, and what's His name, is the Holy One of Israel. That's Christ. Remember this morning I mentioned them demons. They said, we know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Demons know who He is. Look at that. In the Old Testament here, He's called the Holy One of Israel. We looked at His sinlessness today. He's absolutely sinless, perfect. He's the impeccable one. Huh? Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now in every believer's life, there's a day of salvation. As I said, some of us can pinpoint that day and some can't. But we know that there was a moment when we didn't believe, and now we believe. Now we believe. Now we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the gospel day, beloved. That's the gospel day. God has appointed our Almighty God, who is the sovereign ruler over all the universe, has appointed a day when His sheep will hear the gospel. The day you heard the gospel, the day you were given ears to hear and eyes to see, that was all appointed by God. It's amazing. And He does that for every single one of His sheep. We are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And it is appointed by God. And we who are God's people, we just marvel at it. Look at verse 1 in Isaiah 12 here. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. The lips that at one time cursed Him, now praise Him. The lips that maybe used His name as a byword, now they're filled with praise for His mighty name. I know that's so in my life. I know that's so in my life. My. And who wrought that difference? Who made the change? Surely wasn't me. Surely wasn't you in your life. It was the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who's done that. He's the one who's done this mighty work. Salvation's of the Lord, the Scripture declares. From beginning to end, He's the Alpha and He's the Omega and He's everything in between, right? He's our God. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Oh, what comfort God's people can find in knowing the fact, right, that the wrath of God that was against us has been turned away from us, because Christ bore it all. He extinguished the wrath of God. Just think upon this. If you're a believer, Christ extinguished the wrath of God that was against you. He extinguished it. It's gone. See, and this is good news for sinners. Any sinner who flees to Christ, Christ has already paid for their sins 2,000 years ago. Did I know when I was dead in trespasses and sins? Did you know when you were dead in trespasses and sins that Christ had died for us on Calvary's cross? Well, no, we didn't have a clue, did we? We didn't have a clue. We were drinking sin like water and had no idea. No idea that the Holy One of Israel had died in our place on Calvary's cross. But it was revealed to us that it was so, wasn't it? And oh, what a glorious time that was when He reveals that to us. And we're still rejoicing even now. Do you not rejoice in your heart, you who are beloved of God? Do you not rejoice even now in your heart? Well, we ought to, hey. We ought to. Because Christ has extinguished the wrath of God that was against us. The transgressions. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, Paul wrote in Colossians, nailing it to His cross. Praise be to God. Is it any wonder we say hallelujah? No. That's a wonderful word. I know I keep saying that, but it's true. It's true. It's a wonderful word. My, it's all through the Psalms. It's all through the Psalms. There's gospel day for every believer when God the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us, to sinners in desperate need of Him. And we have Christ revealed to us as the only hope for sinners, as the only way to God. Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, it says this in 19 verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Are you lost? May God show you your lost condition. Because we who believe, we once were lost, right? But now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. I know we sing that song all the time, but those words are wondrous words. We were lost. We were wandering out and had no clue we were even lost. And the shepherd sought us out, beloved. And the blind are given eyes to see. What does the scripture say? Look unto me and live. Be in Christ. Look unto Christ and live. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, right? All those who looked to that serpent, they were safe. But those who didn't perished. All who look to Christ are saved. All who don't look to Christ perish. May God give you eyes to look to Christ. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11. In that day, the cold, stony heart of unbelief. The cold, stony heart of unbelief is taken from us. We all are naturally born with a cold heart of unbelief. Dead in trespasses and sins, the scriptures say. But look at this marvelous, or these marvelous verses here in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verses 17 to 20. And take note, beloved. Take note of the words. I will. I will. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 17 to 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Now, this isn't just anyone saying this, is it? You and I may say things, and we don't have the power and the ability to do those things. But the one who's speaking here has all power and all ability. That's the true God of the Bible. Not a God of somebody's imagination. This is the true God of the Bible. Look what these scriptures say. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people. That means that we're a called out assembly. That means we're an ecclesia. He's gathered us out of the people, haven't he? The only one who's made you and I to differ as believers is Christ, is God. Look at that. I will gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries. Well, that's a unique thing here. I'm Canadian and I'm with you all. You're American. We've been gathered out of the two countries, haven't we? And Annie's a Canadian too. But this is all this means is that God will bring his people from all different countries out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation, beloved. Look at that. It says it. And he says, I'm going to do this. I will do this. Where you have been scattered, lost, with no hope. And I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the destitute things thereof and the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart. One heart. Who do we find unity in, beloved? We'll look at that later. Who's the object of our faith? The Lord Jesus Christ. One heart. God's people are united. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. Oh, the stony heart of unbelief. And give them a heart of flesh. A heart that now hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And will give them a heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes. And keep mine ordinances. And do them. And look at this. Marvelous words in verse 20. And they shall be my people. There's one of those little hinge words again, right? It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say if they make a decision. Right? It doesn't say if it's dependent upon the sinner. It doesn't say any of that, does it? And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. It's emphatic, isn't it? This will come to pass. How? By God's almighty power. That's how. By God's almighty power. And what do we say who are the recipients of that mercy and grace? Well, we say, bless his holy name, don't we? Bless his holy name. What a God. And we who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we have a view of our sins which we never had before. Now we know we're sinners. Now we know we've sinned against God. That he's the one we sinned against. And on that day, we're given life. We're given life, beloved. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, that God would show your need for Christ, like he's done for we who believe. Oh, that's our prayer. If you do not know him, turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We'll look at what Paul wrote. The Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Verses 11 to 17. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It didn't originate with man. You ever hear people say these foolish words? They say, well, the gospel you believe, it was penned by a bunch of men from Palestine way back. No, this gospel is not from men. This is the everlasting gospel, beloved. This is the gospel of my salvation. And if you're a believer, you say the same thing. It's the gospel of my salvation, but it's from everlasting. It doesn't have its origins in man. No. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was in religion, I was taught a man, beloved. I was taught a man. That's one thing that after the Lord saved me out of religion, I said to Vicky, I said, I was taught a man. I was believing man's doctrine. Now I believe what the scriptures say. Is it so for you? Salvation's of the Lord. We're taught of God. Brother Tim and I have often talked about the gospel's a revelation, beloved. God must reveal it to us, or we'll never know Christ. For ye have heard of my conversations in times past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being made exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Look at this. Look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Paul was called by the grace of God. Do you know every believer in Christ is called by the grace of God? The same grace and the same mercy. We often vault these Bible characters up. They're just men and women like we are, saved by the grace of God in Christ, beloved. They went through the same things we go through, and they look to the same Savior we look to. And they had revealed to them their desperate need for Christ, just like we've had revealed to us our desperate need for Christ. You see? I'll read verse 15 again. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, oh, wonderful words, to reveal his son in me, God revealed Christ to Paul, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So Paul knew that he was a sinner saved by the grace of God in Christ. He knew that. And he knew his sins were worthy of condemnation, but God had mercy on him. When it pleased God. So when it's appointed of God, every one of God's sheep will hear the gospel, will hear the voice of the shepherd through the preaching of the gospel. Every one of them, when it's appointed of God. They say, well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And it's all by the grace of God. It's all by the grace of God. Again, what is the result of this wonderful day? Look at verse 1 again. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Look at that. I will praise thee. The very one who said, in our natural state, I'll not have this man rule over me, because that's what we did in our sinful state. We may not have verbalized those words, but that's what we said in our hearts, by our sinful actions. I'll not have this man reign over me. And now we gladly bow the knee, don't we? And say, thou art Lord. O Lord, please reign over me. Please keep me from sin. Help me. Give me grace and strength in time of need. And what a glorious day that'll be when we don't sin anymore. Right now, even our best prayers are tainted with sin. But oh, our lips now praise the Savior. We now praise his name. Do you remember the time when you didn't praise his name? Do you remember the time when he wasn't in your thoughts? Maybe you were religious, maybe you weren't. Do you remember when going to church was just something you did because you had to? Now going to church is something you do because you want to. Now you get to pray. You don't have to pray. You get to pray to our glorious God. Now you get to read the scriptures and God gives you understanding. Now you get to fellowship with the believers in Christ and enjoy sweet fellowship in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you have bonds with believers in Christ that you never had before. I thought I had was close to the friends I hung out with growing up. But the bonds I have with believers is even stronger than the bonds I have with my own family, because we have the same God, the same Spirit, the same Savior. And all we can say as believers is bless his holy name. That's all we can say, because it's just the mercy of God. So one of the results of this wonderful day when the believer is born again of the Holy Spirit of God is we have a new song, don't we? We have a new song in our heart. Look at that. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Now we find comfort in our great God. Now we still have a reverence for him, don't we? And a reverent fear. But we don't fear death like we used to. No. Death's but a doorway. I know I say that a lot, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. It's just like you walk through a doorway, beloved. I never forget when Ma Bell died, and Donnie called me about 30 seconds after and said, well, she's gone from the land of the dead to the land of the living. She did. She stepped through death's door, beloved, into the presence of the King. And she's more alive now than she ever was when she was here on this earth. Now, the believer's no more secure in heaven than they are right now on earth either. Never forget that too. We are secure in Christ. But here we're plagued with sinfulness, aren't we? There's no sin. So think of how we praise him with our lips here, and think of how we're praising with our lips there. Absolutely sinless. It's glorious. It's absolutely glorious, beloved. My, oh my. And who is our salvation? Wow. The Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation, isn't he? He's our salvation. He's the object of our faith. Look at verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Let us be reminded again and again through the preaching of the gospel that God is our salvation. God is our salvation. Emmanuel. We saw that clearly this morning. Emmanuel, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, is my salvation, the believer cries. It's glorious. It's absolutely glorious to think that God would save a sinner like me. Do you know that the same God who delivered Israel from Egypt is the same God who the believer can say has saved my soul? Now think about that. We often think about that. He had all them plagues hit Egypt, and nobody in Goshen was even touched, none of the Israelites. And then when that death angel came past, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, we know that's a picture of the believer in Christ under the blood of Christ. See, the death angel passes by because death has already occurred with the sacrificial lamb. And that was pointing, that sacrificial lamb, that Passover lamb, was pointing to Christ, who is our Passover lamb. So God won't punish us for our sins because our sins were imputed to Christ, and that wrath due us fell upon Christ, the sinless, spotless sacrifice. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And then think of this, the same God who saved us is the same God who parted that Red Sea, beloved. Yeah. We were watching something. We had to turn it off, the History Channel. I don't even know why I even bother watching even 10 minutes of that stuff when they start talking about Bible stuff. Yeah, brother, you know what I'm talking about. I said, oh, it was just dry land, a little bit of water that they passed through the reeds. Nah, that's not what the Scripture says. Scripture says that sea just split right open, beloved. And there's a water wall on both sides. And them Israelites, they passed right through on dry land. Dry land. And what happened to them Egyptians? They got all wound up. Right? We're going to get them. We're not going to let them leave. We're going to get them. We either kill them all or kill most of them and bring some of them back. And then they went, eh? They flew in there. And God had them wheels fall off their chariots, didn't he? Could you imagine that? I don't know how far in they were, but could you imagine that? And the wheels are falling off the chariots and they're looking at these walls of water. And then what happened? Oh, the wrath of God fell upon them, didn't it? And that sea just swallowed them up. All who are in Christ are safe from the wrath of God. Just like Noah and the ark, remember? Not a drop fell on those in Noah's ark, right? Which was an ark that God told Noah to build. But all outside, oh boy, they all perished, didn't they? My. The believer's safe in Christ. Safe in Him. And it's God who's our salvation, beloved. That's what the Scripture declares. Behold, God is my salvation. That's an incredible... That alone is an incredible sentence for us to proclaim as believers. When you really think about it, God, Elohim, is my salvation, the Mighty One. I will trust and not be afraid. We have a little trouble with that sometimes, don't we? If we're honest with each other, and we shouldn't when we consider who we're trusting in, but we're flesh, right? Oh, the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid by the grace of God, right? For the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. God incarnate in the flesh. My. And He gives us strength every day to overcome every enemy we cannot overcome on our own. And He's given us this perfect, spotless righteousness. And He alone is our salvation. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. My. He has become my salvation. Notice that in the verbiage. Let's look at that verse again. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Notice He's become my salvation. as there was a time when I trusted in myself and I did not trust in Him. Now we trust Him, don't we? Now we trust Him. We trust our great God by the grace of God. And He's made it so, hasn't He? This is a work of God, not the work of man. No, we could never on our own. The Scripture says, there's none that seeketh after God, there's none that understandeth. But by God's grace, we seek God. By God's grace, we understand the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit illuminates us and teaches us the things of Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our salvation. He's everything. And there's great comfort, beloved, and joy in the wells of salvation. Do you know that? Look at verse 3 of our text here. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the what? The wells of salvation. The wells of salvation. This points us back to the verses before this one. In view of His mercies towards us in the everlasting covenant in Christ, God's people draw water out of the wells of salvation. Remember Zacchaeus? Think of the joy that he felt in the fact that Christ was his Savior. He went up that tree a lost man, beloved, didn't he? He just wanted to look to see Christ, curiosity's sake. But that divinely planted sycamore tree was there, and that little man climbed up that tree, didn't he? And the Lord said, Zacchaeus. See, that man had a divine appointment, beloved. He had a divine appointment with God, and he didn't know it. And the Lord saved him that day, didn't he? Oh, my. Gave him faith to believe on Christ. And God is the fountain of all good to His people. And we draw water with joy, don't we? And the Lord Jesus Christ is a fountain springing up into eternal life. The Scripture says this in Zechariah 13:1. It says, in that day, again, in that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and for sin and uncleanness. A fountain opened. Christ is a fountain opened. And all who come to Him are washed clean, beloved, are cleansed from all their sin, all of it. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. We'll look at the woman at the well here. Wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. Just a wonderful portion of Scripture. Look what He says, our Lord says here in verse 4, and He must needs go through Samaria. Yeah, He needed to go because there was an appointment with a sinner. God had appointed an appointment for this woman who was known to have five husbands, a sinner, so much so that she went and got water on her own. She probably didn't want to be heckled by people. They'd say, oh, look at her. She's such a sinner. Well, I praise God that He sat with sinners and publicans, do you? Oh, I thank God He did for this. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary, this shows His humanity, with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then came a certain woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith to her, give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. There then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half Jews, and the Jews didn't want to have any dealings with them. But see, this was one of Christ's sheep. Now, she didn't know it, did she? She had no idea that she was one of God's sheep. No, she had no idea at all. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So she thinks He's speaking, just like, remember, Nicodemus? He thought the Lord was speaking about being born again, that he'd have to be born a second time. So he's thinking naturally. She's thinking naturally, too. She's thinking, well, you talk about this water, you don't have anything to draw with. But our Lord's speaking spiritual things to her. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be unto him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said well said, I have no husbands, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman saith to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Look at this. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And we know that God granted her faith to believe because she went back and told people in the city. And more people came out. And you know what? The Lord saved more folks. Because there was more than just her. One lost sheep there. There were several lost sheep there, beloved. But see, God saved this notorious sinner, didn't he? Someone who people didn't want to have nothing to do with. Someone who had to come later in the day just to get her water. Oh, God's merciful, isn't he? Oh, he's the Savior of sinners, beloved. He's the Savior of sinners. My. He not turned away anyone who comes to him by faith. Oh, my. So think on this. When God the Holy Spirit has drawn us to Christ, and we come to Christ and drink from the fountain spoken of here, my, and we believe on Christ. The unbelieving believe on him and trust in him. How can one ask, can we know if we are saved? Have you come to Christ? Have you asked God to have mercy on you? Do you see yourself as a sinner in need of him? Only one being drawn by the Holy Spirit of God will do these things, will see these things. I didn't think I was a sinner before the Lord saved me. I may have told people that, but I really didn't think I was. I really didn't. There's worse folks than me, a lot worse than me. Well, no, I found out, no, they got nothing on me. Right? That's why Paul said, what did Paul say? I'm the chief. I'm the chief of sinners. And every believer says, oh, no, I am, Paul. I am. See, we all feel the same way. We all know what we are, but praise be to God. We praise his mighty name for his wondrous salvation. Look at verse 4 in Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day ye shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. God's people give praise to our great God. We give praise to our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he's done for us. We declare his doings among the people. We tell others of what Christ has done for us, don't we? Yeah. And God's still moving. His plan and purpose is still being accomplished. He's still gathering in his elect. He's still gathering in his sheep. And we praise his name and proclaim the gospel boldly as he gives us strength. Oh, and we're saved to give him glory too, beloved. Give him all the glory. We're saved to give him glory. We're saved to give him glory. And what strength we can glean from these verses tonight. Because it's God who's done all this for us. It's God who's done all this for us. Praise his mighty name.